welcome to Audioscope. And as you can hear, we're not really in studio. Actually, we're in a restaurant, because this is our last programme before the end of the series. We have a break for August, and we'll be back in September. But now, I'm joined here by Jo Ballard.
Hello.
Presenter and regular contributor. Audrey Tormey, another regular contributor. And Dave McHugh, our producer.
Sitting here beside you, Ben. And my role in all this, let's explain to the listeners, because yourself, Joe, and Audrey are all blind. And I'm here to ask several stupid sighted questions, or sighted stupid questions, or whatever. And the first question I can ask is this. How difficult is it when you first go for a blind or visually impaired person, when you first come to the door of a restaurant, to get to the table?
That can be a difficult thing, all right. Depends. First of all, if you arrive by taxi, you'll say to the taxi man, can you just see me up to the door? If you booked the table beforehand, that is also handy. When you come in, you're usually met. Either if you have your dog with you, that people come to you questioningly and look at the dog and look at you and then say, oh, yes, well, of course, yes. Then the usual thing is, can I help you? And say, yeah, we're looking for a table, which we probably have booked under the name. Give the name and they'll bring you over to the table. And that can be, in itself, can be a bit funny sometimes, but people trying to get you to sit down and because they haven't told you where the seat is. And they will say things like, your seat is there. And you reach out the seat, and you don't know whether you're facing the seat or it's behind you. But with a little bit of sort of working things out, you'll find the chair and you'll sit down. That's sitting at the. Now you've got yourself sat at the table.
I suppose I wouldn't necessarily come across that situation that often, because generally speaking, when I go out with sighted people. My husband is sighted, so. We just kind of, okay, then we wait and we're seated, and it just kind of happens and I don't really notice. But
did Audrey, you never meet a blind friend in a restaurant?
Oh, absolutely, but Audrey, your husband
is
blind.
Blind. And even trying to find him in a restaurant can be quite amusing at times when I don't see him either. But having said that, I usually, if somebody sees the dog, somebody, member of staff, or I might pause inside the door and wait until I hear when it might be a good moment to make a move and ask somebody, sorry, can you guide me to a table or to the customer service desk or something like that. So there's always ways around it. I always kind of maintain that one has to, well, I try and keep a sense of humour on the situation.
And I'm sure you've done it as well. Like, if you're going into somewhere, not necessarily, sometimes it might be a pub or something, it's like, are there any other blind people in here, please? You kind of hope that there the other blind people have their canes or dogs or something to make them look blind so that
what
they can...
sometimes happens is when you walk in the door, somebody says, like, there could be three or four blind people sitting over in a corner and say, your friends are over there.
And they couldn't be. They
and they might be with you at all.
That
happened to me recently, you know.
It has happened to me as well.
And I think there's an assumption that if just because you're blind or vision impaired, somebody, if they see another group of blind or vision impaired people, they presume that you know every other blind or vision impaired person.
In the country.
In the world.
But
I had a really embarrassing experience. Like, sometimes if I go to the same restaurant or pub and we sit in a particular place, out of habit, or somebody might vacate the table, my dog assumes that the next time he goes there, he can sit at the same table, even if there's a family there or a group of people.
There's the trouble with dogs. I suppose we're all guide dog owners. Have you two, I know I might have come across difficulties in the past, have either of you ever had difficulties actually being allowed into restaurants with your dog?
Yeah, I was last year in Dunleary. I was going in to a meeting in Dunleary, but the meeting wasn't until 2 and I was early. And I went into a sort of a... it was not so much a restaurant as we say, a cafe sort of place, you know, where you go in for snacks.
Yeah.
And as soon as I walked in, the gentleman said, you can't bring that dog in here. I said, I haven't brought him in, he brought me in. And he said, no, dogs are not allowed. So I explained to him and he was adamant, no, he wasn't. So I just sat down where I was and said, can I see... somebody in charge. So he went into the back and he came out and said, no, it's all right, sir, you can... I had explained to him that it was a guide dog and he was quite adamant, no, until he went into the back and I heard somebody laying down the law to him and he came out and apologised and then said, I want to ask him for my coffee and something. He said, it's on the house, sir, it's on the house.
I find the restaurants that I find most difficult are the ones... Thai restaurants and sometimes Indian restaurants, and I find those the most difficult. I've never got an apology. Sometimes it's actually really embarrassing. I remember meeting my the in-laws in a restaurant, and we were just left standing there for ages. They wouldn't let us go to the seats. They wouldn't let us, like, tell them what was happening. It was really, really embarrassing.
This is because of a guide dog, Bethany. That's what you're saying. And what you're saying about, in particular, a Thai or Indian or those type of restaurants, there may be differences in culture to do with dogs and to do with acceptance of dogs.
Absolutely, and we need to respect that culture, difference in culture. At the same time, I needed my dog to be able to get there. And I would be absolutely delighted if my dog misbehaved at all, that they get her number and they report her to Cork. And that's the way it should be. They, restaurant owners, taxi drivers, everybody else, as far as I'm concerned, have rights as much as I have rights. I have the right to bring my guide dog in, but they have the right not to be discommoded by my dog being in there.
So in other words, like, at the moment, Nikki is sitting under the table here and she's, as usual, well-behaved. But if she started jumping around or annoying other customers or whatever, they have their right to chuck us out.
Absolutely.
Well, chuck you out anyway, not the rest of us.
The rest of you can enjoy the dinner.
You have to bring your food out to you.
Anyway, listen, I'm getting hungry, and there's a menu in front of me, which I can open and I can look at and I can see all these wonderful things on it. What can I say? It's one of those laminated menus. I can see pasta dishes, pizza, store-fried dishes, non-pasta dishes, salads, starters, and throw my eye up and down and see spaghetti bolognese, lasagna and salad, bacon, cream and mushroom, bacon, tomato and mushroom, hot Italian sausage, tomato, basil and roast garlic, chicken
and
primavera.
You can also see the prices as well.
I can also see the prices. I look up and down and they range from anything from €13 up to €16. There's loads of vegetarian
orders. Well, the other thing, I'm assuming your next question is, how do you manage?
Well, of course it's a stupid sighted question, John. Are you going to tell me to ask a sighted person?
No, what you do is you hold the menu in your hand. This is what I do, and it might work this time and it might not. And I just hold up my hand up as if I wanted to leave the room. And the lady comes over, being the waitress, and says, "Can I help you?" And says, "Yeah, will you have a look down the menu for me, please?"
So you put your hands up like you're in class?
Yeah, as if I was going to leave the room with my hand, with the menu in my hand.
Oh, and I hold it up.
And she says, "That man wants me over there." And she comes over and says, "Can I help you?" And says, "You wouldn't mind running down the menu for me, please?"
No.
And that's my way of doing it. But having said that, it's not working.
No.
What I've done, I suppose, like, I would typically be with sighted people when I go out to restaurants. So I ask whoever's with me, usually.
Oh, yeah, but that I'm assuming now that I'm also would be a lot with sighted people. I'm assuming now that we three, about this, without this fellow here on our... we three have come in here for a meal.
He might tell us what's on the menu anyway.
No, he probably wouldn't.
He might do what I found relatively recently that happens is that people who read the menu out sometimes read an edited version of the menu, so you're not actually getting the full amount. They kind of forget to read out things like they might know that I don't like certain things and not read them out.
What they do is sometimes sighted people, and it's not only with menus, but they do it when they're reading anything for you. They say, "Spaghetti bolognese," and then there's cream sauce, and they read down and read down, and every now and then they'll give you a bit of information, but they read it all the time. People do it. If they're reading a list of race horses at the race course,
I prefer to have the full thing and decide myself.
People know that you might not want.
Just curious at what's on the menu.
Yeah, I am very.
You're just nosy.
Yeah, no, even though
aren't
I
you?
Wouldn't have it, but yeah, well, I am curious.
Well, when I didn't, I used to be veggie, and I know you are, Audrey.
Yeah.
So if I was with people, I would say, "Look, I'm vegetarian. Just read the vegetarian things out."
I reckon you're at more of a disadvantage if you're blind and vegetarian than if you're a blind and a meat eater.
You've got it all going for you, haven't you? But I would only eat chicken and turkey where meat is concerned.
Yeah.
So I would say to them, "Look, what chicken dishes have you got?"
Yeah.
And that's all. I don't need to know all about spaghetti bolognese and all that. I don't need to know it. I just want to know what chicken dishes have you got.
But what about prices?
People
never tell you what the prices are, are they? Do they?
No, they don't.
Very,
that's
very
true.
Rarely.
You know,
I'll usually have to ask and say, "What is the price range?" Is the way I'd normally ask. People are embarrassed to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. And like, we don't have the same access. I mean, I know I keep going on about it, to information. I say sighted people would if they were going to a restaurant or looking in a shop window or at a menu or whatever. So I mean, it can be very limiting sometimes.
Frustrating thing from my point of view is that there's a very, very, for the three of us, for example, there's a very, very easy way around it.
Yeah.
They give us the menus in Braille. And, there's a restaurant in Cork that I've been to quite a few times.
Lovely, yeah.
That has Braille menus. And it's so exciting.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, I should tell you this.
My first experience of a Braille menu was in South Africa. and I was delighted to sit down at a table with six sighted people and read the menu out to them. It was when I was
brilliant.
In, and it was absolutely fun. I got a great buzz out of it. Not just, it was the first time I'd seen a Braille menu, and I've seen many Braille menus since then, and I think many places in this country today should have Braille menus.
Because they're easy enough, so you can just put them behind the counter and leave them there.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you get all of the information, you get it when you want it, you can jump around the place all the time. Like frequently I might go out with maybe one sighted person and a group of blind people. Mm. And so the sighted person has to read the menu. Like what will happen tonight, Dave will have to read the menu to all of us.
Yeah.
Joe said he doesn't want any red meat.
No.
Audrey wants something vegetarian. I probably don't want anything with pasta in it. It's madness.
Yeah, it is. And it's such a simple thing that can be corrected.
A couple of weeks ago, I was down in a particular restaurant and they had a Braille menu. And the waiter obviously had never done anything with a Braille menu. And I could hear these pages being done. And he handed out a one page Braille page to each of the blind people. I said, this is page 7 of the menu. Can I have the others, please? And they were all in the wrong order and everything. So I then handed it back to him and said, right, I've put your menu in the right order now. Would you like to staple it together?
There's a coffee shop on Wicher Road. Have you ever been into a cafe culture? And they do Braille menus there. You know, all different kinds of menus. It's wonderful. And large print as well.
Yeah. That's a good point, actually, Audrey, as well. I know it wouldn't be particularly helpful for us, but large print, it is limited, the number of Braille readers.
Yeah.
Whereas large print would actually be helpful for a large number of people as well, people who've got their glasses, older people, whatever.
Yeah.
So having large print menus as well as Braille menus is probably the way to go.
It is, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so I suppose I'll read your everything here, and let's have a look at what we're going to eat, and let's decide.
Start.
So we've just ordered food. It was a bit of an ordeal to decide. Do you ever find that it's difficult to know who the waitress is speaking to? Because they must seem to nod and smile and they're kind of jumping on top of each other.
There's a lot of non-verbal communication, I imagine, that goes on. And if there's a lot of background noise, you can't really hear where they're projecting their voice too. So it can be very difficult.
And then I always forget what I want.
Yeah, by the time you try and remember, after somebody having read the menu to you, it can be a lot of memory work.
And I find as well, as a sighted person, sometimes if you come to a place, an Italian restaurant or whatever, and they have these mad Italian words, and you're going, can I have that one there, please? And so you can actually point at it, show up your ignorance.
That's just happened to me when I was ordering my dish, and she made three kind of pastas, and I said, yes, please, I'll have one of them. I really hadn't got a clue what I was looking for.
Yeah.
But I was looking, because I'm at the end of the table here, and the waitress just stood there, so I just looked towards her. And I looked.
Stood where, Joe? Because you're raising your hand here, and none of us can see your hand except for me.
Standing at the end of the table.
She stood on your right.
Yeah, yeah. And she was standing to my right, and I could hear where she was, so I just looked at her and asked the questions.
Because it's a table where there's four of us. You're sitting opposite Dave, and I'm sitting opposite Beckham.
Yeah.
So I'm in at the wall,
it would be more difficult for you. I was at the end.
Yeah.
Right. But then sometimes you can't hear when they're walking up to the table.
No, you still need to attempt to make eye contact.
They're on wheels, and they come up to the table on wheels. And you don't hear them, And you don't know whether they're standing there or not. And then you don't know. The other thing is when you've ordered and you suddenly think, oh, sorry, and you come up and they've gone and you're talking to fresh air,
Is there any more water left in the jug?
There is. There's a full jug of water here in front of me. But
can you do the honours, please?
I'll do the honours. And how tricky or how difficult is this now?
I think this can be really difficult if we can't hear, Beth and I, or Joe, I don't know what you think, but if you can't hear the water coming out, it goes everywhere.
It does,
I would tend not to have that much of a difficulty pouring the water itself. It's finding where the jug is in the first place.
Okay. Yeah,
and I think different people do it different ways. I would be the kind that would say, if I'm with a whole lot of other blind people or on my own or whatever, I just try and find it myself.
I do. That's how I did. I sat down here and I put my hand, there's the water jug. Put my hand on the table. And then I found here is a, I presume there's a large, I thought that was a candle, but it's not, is it?
Here in a wine bottle. I've already had a look at that.
No, I don't know what that is.
That's a black pepper shaker.
It's a huge thing, right?
A meal kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing is I don't like stretching across, especially if people, if I can't see. Oh, yeah, okay.
That's a big, huge, and beside that is another little...
I'm a devil for actually feeling things on
yes,
the spot.
I am too.
I'm playing with candles. Yeah,
yeah. Well, listen, can I tell you a very interesting thing about this restaurant here? And Joe picked something up beside the black pepper and he just... We're here in Casa Pasta in Donnybrook, lovely little restaurant, and they have, in Joe's left hand, is a little container, and in that container are crayons of all different colours, and they encourage you to draw on the tablecloth. And which I've half destroyed by pouring some of Orgy's water on.
I've taken the crayon out.
And there's a pink, Joe now has a pink crayon in his hand. And so they encourage you to doodle,
am I
away.
To do this?
They encourage you to doodle away. And of what relevance this is for blind and visually impaired people, I don't know. From a sighted point of view, this is.
I'm like a big child here. Look.
You can actually feel the impression of the crayon on the table, on the cloth, on the paper.
This will amuse us for a while, I think.
You shouldn't have said that.
It'll amuse us till the food arrives anyway, Beth.
Can you read that?
I know my writing is still legible. So the food's all arrived.
So, yeah, it's all the food's arrived now, and there's four plates, four of us in here. Joe Bollard started before the rest of us, couldn't keep himself quiet.
Excuse me, I was hungry.
But how did you know what was on your plate, Joe? Is that a stupid sighted question?
No, I asked for chicken and sun-dried tomatoes and pasta. And that's what I presume is on my plate, and I've tasted it, and it is. And they've actually given me a spoon to eat it with. Yes.
I'm blind and I don't eat meat or fish. Right. But how do you know, as a person who can't see who eats meat, what kind of meat's on your plate?
Well, I presume that it's in a restaurant that I would go to, that if I asked for chicken, they'd give me chicken. But if I tasted it and it tasted like a pork chop, I'd say, hang on a minute, that doesn't taste like chicken.
Okay.
And I'd question it.
Is that a concern of yours, Audrey, that somebody would, you go to a restaurant, somebody says to you, oh yeah, there's a salad there. And they don't tell you that there's tuna stuck in the middle of it somewhere.
No, I'd be paranoid. I'd probably have them driven so mad asking what exactly is in the dish or the bowl. I would find out eventually, but I would hate it. And once or twice I might have been given a salad sandwich and they wouldn't have said, like, there's tuna in it or there's egg in it. And I try and avoid those kind of things as well. But very often, I don't know, Bethan and Joe, like, you know from the texture through your fork of what's on your plate. And if it's a vegetable or I'm sure it's the same for
that's
me.
That's a good point, that's a good point.
You know, I'd actually finger things except with the fork, obviously. So nice and subtly, I just feel where everything is on the plate first. And so then I have a good geography of the plate and I kind of move it around. What about when people tell you... carrots are at 2 o'clock and all this kind of stuff.
I don't go with that. I'll eat them whatever clock they're on, I'll eat them.
you're referring to the position on the plate, Bethan, by saying 2 o'clock and whatever.
Yeah, people sometimes think that you need to know, be told where everything is. I like to know what's on my plate sometimes. If somebody says, you know, oh yeah, there's a lump of potato and there's this and that, that's helpful. But where exactly they are, it's going to be cold.
Your carrots are at 3 o'clock and your pasta's at... You don't, because it's going to disappear anyway. You're going to go all around the plate anyway, aren't you?
And things kind of merge as well, I think. You know, carrots kind of migrate to the 9 o'clock position or, you know, like, so it gets a bit messy after a while, I suppose, you know.
But what about the appearance of it? Because I can see here, I've got a pizza in front of me and it looks great. I mean, of course, I'm going to eat the thing and it's not going to look so great when it's in my belly. But I mean... Sometimes, you know, you read restaurant critics or whatever, and they place an awful lot of emphasis on how the dish looks before they actually
know. The restaurant, I think it's in Berlin, the blind restaurant, where the place is all in pitch darkness, and everyone...
Oh, that's great.
I'd love to go, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love to go?
Mm.
And all the waiters are all totally blind.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
And so everything is all by... there's no sight at all, so all of the sight people go and basically eat blind.
Yeah.
And that sounds incredible. And the theory is that people look too much at their food and they don't actually appreciate the taste of it.
Yeah.
I think there's a point to that, I think. You know, people do look at food more so than taste it sometimes.
Well, I tell you what, now, instead of looking at this, I better eat it before it goes cold. And whether you're blind or sighted, the food is cold, food is cold.
You can try eating with your eyes closed, Dave.
Oh,
this is true.
Yeah, we'll see how you get on.
Yeah, go on.
So we've had a nice meal. It was a nice meal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And just... a cup of tea and finishing off the desserts now, so we're coming to the end of the night. And one of the things that I have just done, actually, is gone to the toilet. So how do you find your way to the toilet?
You don't.
I'd have to ask somebody.
And you're like, what I would do in an emergency, if the girl came over to the table, I'd say, could you get me one of the waiters, please? And then he'd come over and I'd say, so could you show me to the gents, please? And that would be my way of doing it.
Funny enough, I've never been asked anybody to show me to the gents, but I don't mind whether it's a male or a female.
No, some of them. Well, you've got to take into consideration that perhaps they might be embarrassed. You know, could you take me to the gents? And they look sideways at you. Hello! You know?
Well, just to the door. I don't think it makes any difference whether it's a male or female.
I wouldn't mind if I was on the way and somebody asked my aunt a hand, I'd just say, can you drop me to the lady outside the door? And I'd be fine from there.
Do you know what I love? When they have the doors that have the signs of male, you know, like a picture of, yeah, whatever, and they're tactile. Then you can just have a quick feel of the door and check that it's whether it's male or female.
Kind of a skirt and a female. Yeah.
Hang on, you mightn't be sure about that. No, what I would do
if I was dying, I would transit you.
Would you?
Yeah, definitely.
No, what I would do is where we're sitting at the table, I'd get the waitress's attention or somebody's attention, and then I'd say, could you get me one of the waiters, please? And he'd come over and say, look, I'm looking to go to the loo. And once you get you over to the door, I think you've got to consider that I don't get embarrassed, but I think that other people might get embarrassed. My mother was always putting that into my head. Joe, you don't get embarrassed, but other people do. So I'd fear that maybe she might be embarrassed at bringing a guy over to the toilet door. So I would just say, get the guy to go over. And toilets are toilets wherever you go anyway.
That's the one situation where I don't think it helps having a sighted person with you, unless you've got lots of sighted people with you. Because supposing one of us wants to go to the toilet, I suppose it's different. You need to have a group of people if there's a sighted person. Because if there's just two of you, you can't both leave the table and come back. So you kind of either need... You probably need a waiter or a waitress if there's only two people anyway, regardless of whether the other one can see. Well, it seems to be getting late. We've had a lovely meal. It's a nice end to the series. We're off for the rest of August, so we have August holidays, so we'll be back in September. Until then, thank you very much to Joe Bollard, Audrey Tormey, and from Dave and myself, and of course, Nikki under the desk. We'll see you in September. Goodbye.